Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's Current Sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a starting receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? We are coming to you live, courtesy of Facebook.com/WKAR News and online at WKAR.org on this Tuesday, January 28th, 2019. We are not on your usual 105.1 FM and AM 870 frequencies. That is due to our continuing coverage of the Senate impeachment hearings. And, you know, we've been going live on Facebook.com/WKAR News now for week two due to our continuing coverage of those impeachment hearings. We've been going live around 1:15 p.m., so it gives you a chance to tune in at 1 p.m. to kind of get an overview of what is going to be talked about during today's impeachment hearings. And if you want to stick around, you can. But if not, if you're not feeling what's coming up, you can, of course, take a break from all of the politics and tune into some sports talk here on Current Sports. So if you're just now tuning in for the week and you missed yesterday's Current Sports, that was a very emotional show, filled with a lot of conversation centered on the tragic news that we all got on Sunday concerning NBA legend, NBA icon, Kobe Bryant, and his unfortunate passing, stunning death, along with his 13-year-old daughter, Gianna Bryant, and of course the other seven passengers who were in that helicopter. Just tragic news that we are all still trying to digest. It still seems a bit surreal, and it's going to take a minute for all of us to kind of get over that. You know, for me, you know, I kind of put into context why this hit so home for me because, you know, I mean, growing up, you know, I mean, I'm 29 years old now, and growing up, Kobe Bryant was a big part of my childhood. You know, watching him play, watching him, you know, compete against my Detroit Pistons on the regular. You know, I brought up the 04 NBA Finals, in which the Pistons took on the L.A. Lakers, and of course the Lakers were stacked with Shaquille O'Neal and Karl Malone, Gary Payton, and of course Kobe Bryant. He's just gone too soon. 41 years old, still had so much life to live. So later on this hour, we'll continue our Kobe tributes, if you will, as I'll have some more words and thoughts as the tributes have continued to roll in from people that played with Kobe, people that knew him, people from around the entertainment world. I'll have that for you later on this hour. But I do want to talk some Michigan State sports today. Also some Michigan sports, specifically pertaining to both of those men's basketball programs. Two programs which are trending in opposite directions right now, as we got some breaking news this week concerning a pretty big name for Juwan Howard's Wolverines. A certain player, a certain leader, has been suspended by Juwan Howard and the Michigan men's basketball coaching staff. We don't know specifics, but I'll bring that news to you in just a moment, and we'll have a reaction to that news in just a moment. Also, I want to dive into Michigan State men's basketball and have a bit of a recap on what was just an odd Sunday, as the news broke right around tip time of Michigan State and Minnesota concerning Kobe Bryant. And again, it was just a weird, weird day. And I'll have just really brief thoughts on MSU Hoops, who got a much needed road victory over Minnesota on Sunday afternoon. All right, so a lot to get to. 517 up. No, we can't pub the phone number because we are just online. It's just, I'm a creature of habit when it comes to that. I'm still getting used to that.
Psych.
Yeah, psych. Yeah, pump fake. You can weigh in at our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKAR News. Comment below that live stream. You can also even tweet us, tweet the show at WKAR News, or tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR. Jack Kerwin is behind the glass. Here are your quick hit headliners. All right, let's start here as tonight the Michigan men's basketball team will hit the road to take on the Nebraska Cornhuskers. The Wolverines are 11-8 overall, really struggling in the Big Ten right now. And to add to those struggles was this news, as yesterday, head coach of the Maize and Blue, Juwan Howard, in his first year, he announced that Xavier Simpson has been suspended for a violation of team policies. Of course, Simpson is the team's starting point guard and also a co-captain for the Wolverines. He will sit out tonight's game at Nebraska. This is what was said by Juwan Howard in the Michigan men's basketball program. Quote, "We take these matters and consequences very seriously. Moving forward, we will continue to handle this matter appropriately within our program and basketball family. Simpson has played in all 135 games in his career, starting in 85 of those. This year, the senior point guard leads the country with 8.3 assists per game. So this is a big, big loss for a Michigan men's basketball team that is certainly struggling. More on that story in just a moment. And as many of you know by now, the world is mourning the loss of Kobe Bryant. Still can't believe those words are coming out of my mouth. But the Pistons and many, many teams in many different games yesterday continue to honor the great Kobe. The Pistons did so in a really, really cool way, as the Pistons actually donned pregame jerseys that had Kobe's number 8 and 24 on them. And, of course, there was a moment of silence for Kobe as well last night as they took on the Cleveland Cavaliers at Little Caesars Arena. The Pistons ended up losing that game 115-100. And this is what Pistons head coach Dwayne Casey said in the post game concerning the loss and, of course, the loss of Kobe Bryant. Quote, "Kobe this, Kobe that, believe me, rest his soul, he would be embarrassed with our non-compete level. That's what is disconcerting for me." So, yeah, the Detroit Pistons not looking good right now. And, again, when it comes to the death of Kobe Bryant, the NBA announced yesterday that tonight's game that was scheduled between the L.A. Lakers and the L.A. Clippers, the battle for L.A., well, they said that game is going to be postponed. This is what the league said in a statement, quote, "The decision was made out of respect for the Lakers organization, which is deeply grieving the tragic loss of Lakers legend Kobe Bryant, his daughter Gianna, and 7 other people in a helicopter crash on Sunday." It goes on to say in this statement from the Lakers, quote, "In consultation with the NBA league office, the game scheduled between the Lakers and Clippers for Tuesday, January 28th, will be postponed and scheduled for a future date. The Lakers would like to thank all of you for tremendous outpouring the tremendous outpouring of support and condolences. This is a very difficult time for all of us. We continue to support the Bryant family and will share more information as it is available. To bring a bit of a local feel to the Kobe Bryant death yesterday, Imani Bates, who is the top-ranked high school boys basketball player in the nation, plays just in our backyard in Ypsilanti, Michigan. I messed it up again, Jack. Imani Bates has been so inspired, like many young ballers have, by Kobe Bean. And he wanted to do something to honor Kobe Bryant, opting to switch his jersey number from his normal 21 to number 24 to honor who he considered to be his, quote, idol and hero. That's what he said in a post on Twitter. He went on to say in that post, quote, "You passing killed me on the inside, and I hope you looking down and see that I won't let your name ever be forgotten. Love you, Mamba." Again, that's what Imani Bates wrote on his Twitter profile as he went out and scored 42 points. You know, I told myself this year, I got to drive out to Ypsy and catch Imani.
All right, Bates. 1 for 3.
Ypsy.
There you go.
There we go.
Batting 50%.
Yeah, there we
go. So if you're playing baseball, really good. And if you're shooting in basketball, pretty good. But let's hope you're not a quarterback.
I know, right?
Well, you might be. You might be your buddy Dak Prescott, actually.
Hey, just stop. Are you done? Are you done?
I mean, for now.
But I told myself I got to go out there and check out Imani Bates. I was talking to my stepdad and my aunt, actually, this morning about that. This dude is just amazing. And do we know? I'm trying to look up and see. Who did he play last night in that 42 point effort? Jack,
give me a sec. I'll find it for you.
Yeah, can we look up that? I thought it was in there, but no. Yeah, let me know who they played last night. I'm wondering.
Jackson.
It was Jackson. Jackson High School. Gotcha. So yeah, he puts up 42 points to honor Kobe Bryant. Flip that around, you get 2-4. All right. Also, the University of Connecticut women's basketball team paid tribute to Gianna Bryant yesterday by draping a jersey over a chair adorned with a bouquet of flowers prior to its exhibition game against Team USA out in Connecticut. Gianna and Kobe Bryant were among 9 people, again, who passed in that crash. Quote, "Mambacita is forever a Husky." That's what the team wrote on Twitter alongside a photo of the jersey, and it was widely known that Gianna Bryant, you know, one of her dreams and goals when it comes to her basketball career was to play college hoops for Connecticut. So they show, you know, many images from that pregame ceremony, and Gino Auriemma, he was tore up on the sidelines in tears. Just, you know, this is affecting everybody, even to the tennis world, as Novak Djokovic, he broke down in tears while reflecting on his friendship with Kobe at the Australian Open. Speaking after his quarterfinal victory over Milos Raonic, Djokovic, he held Bryant, who died alongside his daughter, and again, and 7 others, as one of the greatest athletes of all time. Quote, "He inspired myself and many other people around the world. I had the fortune to have a personal relationship with him over the last 10 years. When I needed some advice, some support, he was there for me. He was my mentor, my friend. It's heartbreaking to see and hear what has happened to him and his daughter." End quote. And to less important matters, after 16 seasons with the Chargers franchise, the team has reportedly, quote, "moved on from Philip Rivers." That's according to a report from Fox Sports' own Jay Glazer. Jay has been breaking a lot of news lately. "Despite heading into free agency at 38 years old, Rivers apparently isn't looking to follow fellow 04 draft QB Eli Manning's lead by announcing his retirement. Rivers told Daniel Popper of The Athletic that retirement is, quote, not really an option," end quote. He said that back on December 29th. So we'll see what happens with Philip Rivers. And many believe that, okay, this opens up the door now for the Chargers to try and make a move to go out and get Tom Brady. We'll see if that happens. But that's the conversation we were having after yesterday's Current Sports when that news broke about Rivers. So, interesting story there. All right. That does it for your quick hit headliners. 517. Oh, my gosh. Dare I go again, Jack?
Hey, I wouldn't have even corrected you if you wouldn't have corrected yourself. So.
Right, exactly. I've been doing it for the last 2 weeks now. It's just such a habit to pub.
It's weird.
It's weird. Yeah, it is. It's weird just being online only.
You think Ray still calls in?
Oh, yeah.
He didn't last Friday when I was in, but I feel like he probably will today.
I am sure that, because our phone lines, can he even call in right now?
Yeah, I don't have him blocked. Okay. So, yeah, he can call in. Yeah.
When he does, if he does, he's going to have some things to say.
About Juan Howard?
No, about not getting through.
Oh.
What's going on? I already know.
Yeah, that's a good point.
It happens all the time.
But he'll probably talk about Juan Howard, too, right?
He will.
And Xavier Simpson's suspension?
He'll talk about Juan Howard and Xavier, for sure. I'm sure he has some thoughts on that. So if you want to weigh in on Juan Howard and Simpson's suspension, just like Ray is, I'm sure, chomping at the bit to do, go to facebook.com/WKAR News. Again, that's where we are live at. Today and throughout the week, just like we have been now. This is week two because of our ongoing coverage and airing of the Senate impeachment hearings. You can tweet us at WKAR News. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR.
Dear Basketball. From the moment I started rolling my dad's tube socks and shooting imaginary game-winning shots in the Great Western Forum, I knew one thing was real. I fell in love with you. A love so deep, I gave you my all. From my mind and body to my spirit and soul. As a 6-year-old boy, deeply in love with you, I never saw the end of the tunnel. I only saw myself running out of one. And so I ran. I ran up and down every court after every loose ball for you. You asked for my hustle. I gave you my heart. Because it came with so much more. I played through the sweat and the hurt. Not because challenge called me, but because you called me. I did everything for you. Because that's what you do when someone makes you feel as alive as you've made me feel. You gave a 6-year-old boy his Laker dream. And I'll always love you for it. But I can't love you obsessively for much longer. This season is all I have left to give. My heart can take the pounding. My mind can handle the grind. But my body knows it's time to say goodbye. And that's okay. I'm ready to let you go. I want you to know now, so we both can savor every moment we have left together. The good and the bad. We have given each other all that we have. And we both know, no matter what I do next, I'll always be that kid with the rolled up socks, garbage can in the corner, 5 seconds on the clock, ball in my hands. 5, 4, 3. 2, 1. Love you always. Kobe.
Yes, the world is still mourning the loss of Kobe Bryant. We will be for a long, long time. That was the audio from Kobe's Oscar-winning short entitled Dear Basketball. That wonderful score done by the great John Williams. And, you know, I watched it for the first time because apparently Kobe Bryant's production team, his studio, they have made viewing that short free. Apparently you had to have some kind of subscription or had to pay for it, but you know, they have made it free due to his passing. And I believe it's
on Hulu. I think when I was scrolling through, I saw it yesterday, yeah.
Yeah, I my first time seeing it was last night before I hit the bed, and man, I can't even lie, I got a little emotional, dude, watching that. Very, very well done. You got to check out the visual of it. Just an amazing tribute to the game of basketball from Kobe. He put that together, you know, right before he retired and said goodbye officially to the game of basketball. And well, not to the game of basketball, I should say to the NBA. You know, because he was still highly involved in the game of basketball, as I highlighted on yesterday's Current Sports, and as I'm sure many of you have already heard and have been hearing since the tragic news of his passing on Sunday. You know, very involved with his daughter's basketball aspirations. Gigi wanting to go to the WNBA and play for UConn and continue on the Bryant basketball legacy. And you know, Kobe being such a big advocate for women's basketball and showing up to WNBA games and, you know, still mentoring young basketball stars in the league and in other sports as well. You know, Novak Djokovic, I just told you how he was, you know, he has been emotional, and he had a tribute to Kobe on his warm-up fleece that said KB24. You know, this has just affected everybody. You know, it's affected everybody, had an effect on everybody. I'm watching Jimmy Fallon last night as well. Jimmy Fallon opened up with, you know, a really heartfelt story about him, you know, meeting Kobe Bryant when Kobe was fresh out of high school and had just become an L.A. Laker. Ellen DeGeneres, she teared up, as well as Jimmy Fallon. They both teared up and broke down talking about their friendship with Kobe. This has affected everybody. So I'll touch more upon the tributes to Kobe later on this hour. But I do want to shift gears a bit here and try and, you know, pep your mood up a bit by talking some Michigan and Michigan State basketball. I want to start with the Spartans, and I'm gonna be fully honest here, Jack. You know, I told this story yesterday as well. I was at a shoot for a new film that I'll be in that's coming soon, and we were at a promo shoot for it, and that's when I got word about Kobe Bryant's death. It was right around the time when Michigan State was just about to tip off against Minnesota. So when it comes to the game, I didn't see that game live. And honestly, talking with a lot of people who did see it live, they were distracted, frankly, due to the news of Kobe and trying to check social media sites to see what was true and what wasn't. And that game is a bit of a blur for many people. For me especially, because again, I didn't even see it live, and then I'm, you know, all I cared about when I got home was not, and I did check to see if the Spartans won, of course, but as far as going back and diving into the X's and the O's and checking out highlights, didn't do much of that. When it comes to recapping this game, though, I have since gone back and looked at highlights and looked at the specific numbers. First off,
don't say highlights again, say film. You broke down the film.
Well,
makes you sound more professional.
It does sound more. Yeah. I broke down. When I broke down the film when I got home.
There you go.
There we go, Jack. When watching the film of this game, I mean, Michigan State, thank goodness, they got a win on the road, a much needed win on the road against a Minnesota team that was hot. This was a Minnesota team that was coming off a big, big win against Ohio State. You know, looking at, you know, the play of Daniel Oturu, you know, and what he was able to do in that first game against Michigan State. You know, for me, Jack, I don't know if you watched it live. For me, and what I saw in the film, this was an easy win for the Spartans.
It was a very boring game, which on the road in the Big Ten is a very good thing if you're rooting for the road team.
That's what you want. That's what you want. And, you know, Tom Izzo, he noted that he was going to shake up some things, and, you know, there were going to be some quote-unquote changes made, and there were some changes made. You know, Tom Izzo, he felt like his team needed a breath of fresh air. They needed a wake-up call after a stale performance against Indiana, which came a couple weeks after a disappointing showing at Purdue. You know, it was certainly concerning looking at how Michigan State has started games on the road. Again, those two games specifically against Indiana and Purdue, because, you know, you just can't have starts like that against those kind of teams and try and expect you can just treat it as a light switch and just flip it on whenever. That kind of mentality will lead to losses. So what Izzo did, you know, adding two freshmen to the starting lineup, it seemed to help from what I saw, Jack, because, you know, looking at Mark Rocket Watts, and I believe it was Malik Hall.
Correct.
Who started that game on Sunday. They provided a jolt that this offense desperately needed. Looking at what I saw, Rocket and Malik Hall, when you get an opportunity like that, and Rocket was a guy for Rocket. I mean, he began the season as a starter, and we all know about the injury situation that had him out a bit. But when you are thrusted into the starting lineup as a freshman, you want to prove yourself. You know what I mean? And from what I saw, it looked as though, you know, in particular when it comes to Malik Hall, he made sure that he was going to take advantage of this opportunity and show Tom Izzo that I can be out here. I can play with these guys. So Rocket Watts, he replaced Aaron Henry in the lineup. He had 10 points and a rebound. He was 4-for-9 shooting, as well as 2-for-5 from the floor. He was gaining some momentum on the offensive end of the floor, and that's really good news for Rocket Watts. He has played really well offensively for the Spartans in these recent games. I mean, heck, against Purdue, Jack, I keep going back to that. He was like the lone bright spot in that game for Michigan State. I really like how Rocket is progressing offensively. And he's not a bad defender either.
No, especially not as a freshman. Here's the thing, Al. What that shakeup to the lineup did primarily was Izzo's goal was he wanted Aaron Henry to start the game on the sidelines so that he could kind of see from a different perspective, I think was my understanding of why he did this. Mm-hmm. And that was probably what was most effective because Aaron Henry was very, very effective in this game. He had 9 points, yeah. 4 steals, and 4 rebounds as well. Rocket had another very good game, but primarily in the second half. He finished with 10 points. I think 7 of them were in the second half.
Was it? Okay.
Yeah.
So he had a second half.
Yeah. And Malik Hall, the other thing, and you touched on, he took advantage of his opportunity. I mean, it's a little bit reactionary, but how disappointed I've been in the total game of Thomas Kithier and Marcus Bingham, I'm starting to think that Malik Hall is the guy State's going to want to start at the four come March.
So you think that, and even now moving forward, I mean, he started on Sunday. You think this will be a continuing trend as the year progresses?
Maybe not in the near future, because again, Malik Hall had 4 fouls in the game playing limited minutes, and that's what he really needs to work on. He needs to get his foul numbers down. But in the long view, when March rolls around, when the Big Ten tournament rolls around, I think he probably will be starting at the four for the Spartans, and I think that's probably the best case scenario.
Looking at his production offensively, he had, 7 points, 6 rebounds, 3-for-3 shooting. That's not bad.
I don't think he took a jump shot, which isn't a bad thing necessarily. I think he finished at the hole all three times.
Yeah,
he
did. Jump shot, that's a good thing, actually. Yeah. I mean, that shows some fluidity in your offense, and he's where he's supposed to be position-wise on the floor. So, I don't know. I think Izzo, look, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. If this worked on the road on Sunday, I say at least give it another try. And Aaron Henry, like I've been saying, man, he's the key. He is the key. This is the kind of Aaron Henry that we need to see the rest of the season if Michigan State is going to take that next level. Will this be a full-time role, though? Because now you start to debate a bit. I said if it ain't broke, don't fix it. But I like the energy from Aaron Henry kind of coming off that bench. If he plays like this coming off the bench and mentally it doesn't do anything to his confidence, saying, oh, man, I used to be a starter, now I'm coming off the bench, and he embraces that role and is able to put up this kind of production, Jack, hey, roll with it. It's no slight. You know, some players sometimes, they feel like coming off the bench, and this is the whole thing, especially with NBA guys, you know, whose egos are way through the roof. You know, I'm a big NBA guy, and I remember the big debate around the league when Carmelo Anthony was benched the first time in his career. And, you know, everybody's like, oh, my gosh, Carmelo Anthony's benched. And then Carmelo went in front of cameras and said that, yeah, I'm a starter in this league. I shouldn't be benched. And he didn't embrace that role at all. Whereas, in comparison, you look at a Lou Williams. Lou said, hey, put me on the bench. I kind of like it.
That's his M.O. It's his thing.
Yeah, put me on the bench, man. Because the thing is, it could go one or two ways. You could look at it an ego trip, or you could look at it and say, hey, man, I get to chill a little bit, you know, and then kind of ease my way into the flow of the game. Expectations aren't as high. I'm coming off the bench, and I can go in there and be your energizer bunny. You know, I could be your Vinnie Johnson. Vinnie Johnson, the microwave back for the Detroit Pistons in the 80s. He embraced that role. If you embrace it and you are a great offensive talent, it can work for you. But it's a mental thing, and I think Aaron Henry clearly embraced it on Sunday. He was shooting, what, 4 for 8 from the floor. He had 2 assists, 4 rebounds, 9 total points, as you highlighted, Jack.
And 4 steals. That was the biggest part of his stat line.
4 steals as well. I didn't see that. Wow, yep. 4 steals as well for Aaron Henry. I mean, you talk about an all-around game.
That was the most impactful part of his stat line outside of maybe the points, yeah.
That's amazing. And also, you know, he had 2 rebounds against Indiana. He couldn't do that again. You know, you got at least, as a guard playing on a Tom Izzo team, if you are a premier guard on a Tom Izzo coach team, Tom wants you to have at least 4 to 5 rebounds every single game. 1 or 2 ain't going to cut it. It's just not. So is this a full-time role for Aaron Henry? I don't know. I would at least try it again in the next game against who did they play tomorrow? Was it Northwestern?
Northwestern at home. Yeah.
Northwestern at home. That'd be a blowout.
That's the right game to test it out, I guess.
Yeah, test it out. See if he gets more comfortable with that. So you know, we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. But this worked at least for Sunday's game, and I think what we also saw, Jack, on Sunday was a sense of urgency. You know, when you have those kind of role performances, and you know that now you are knocking on the door of February, and that's the month that Michigan State starts to figure it out under Tom Izzo, there has to be some urgency there, and you've got to start figuring out some things. And you got to start to get some performances out of players who you know have the potential to be impactful players out there on the basketball floor. And what I saw on Sunday was a team saying, all right, look, February is right around the corner. Our last 2 role performances have been an embarrassment. We have to step it up. And that's what I saw in this game. And Cassius Winston as well. Shout out to Cash. You know, he played much more, seemingly, like his old self, Jack. You know, he got lost on defense a couple of times from what I saw in that first half. But he had 18 points, 8 assists, and only 1 turnover. That's the Cassius Winston that we're used to seeing. And again, if Cash is in the flow of the offense and is in tune with the game, Michigan State and its chances of winning grow exponentially, period. Am I right on that? Cassius had a pretty good game?
He had a pretty good game, yeah. He was a lot better in the second half than he was in the first half. He kind of played that closer role. He had a 4-point play. I think he hit a couple other threes in the second half as well, so that was the majority of his scoring for the game. So, yeah, I mean, the team actually started out pretty slow. Both teams did. It was at, like, the 16:50 mark. It was, like, 2-2 still, and Minnesota missed, I think, their first, like, 10 threes or something like that. It was nuts. But right. You know what? So State actually started pretty slow in this game. There was one sequence of about 4 to 5 minutes in the first half where they looked really refined offensively. And then they actually closed the first half pretty poorly as well, I would say. Like, they were fortunate to be up 8 points, I would say, at the half. And I think Izzo kind of felt that way, too, the way he talked to Andy Katz, the halftime reporter. But then the second half, they were much better in all aspects, and they were able to put Minnesota away, and that's why it was an 18-point win.
And I'm glad it was, because I was hoping this game wasn't a close game that I had to break down on Monday. I'm glad it was a comfortable blowout loss that allowed many of us to just kind of shift our attention and say, all right, well, they handled business. Now you can focus and grieve appropriately when it comes to Kobe Bean. But I know Jim Jackson was doing the game. You know, we talked about this yesterday. Jim Jackson was on the call alongside, oh, I forget who the play-by-play guy. Was that Brando
on the call? Yeah, I believe so.
I think it was Brando.
I'm not a Jim Jackson fan. I just can't do it.
I'm not a big, you know.
I feel like I liked him more last year than I do this year all of a sudden. So
funny Jim Jackson story. this was right after this was the Final Four run for Michigan State, where they were in Indianapolis at Bankers Life Fieldhouse.
2015?
I think it was, yeah.
Yeah, 2015. The 7-seed team.
Who was with me? I want to say it was Alex Sharg, my very first engineer here at Current Sports. And, you know, Alex and I, we get done, we cover the game, you know, we get done with the game, and we're, you know, we decide to just kind of go out and just see what the nightlife around, you know, Indianapolis is. And we go out, and we're at this spot that's like so packed. Everybody's there. We're like, all right, let's check this place out. You know, we're still in our suits from covering the game.
So that was a selling point to you, that the bar was packed?
No, the line was crazy. I mean, everybody was going to this one. So we just walked by, and the music seemed to be live, okay. And we see people, you know, is roped off. And we're like, oh, let's check this spot out, man. So we're in line about to go in, and all of a sudden, you know, this black car pulls up, and, you know, it's like a Cadillac or something like that. And, you know, the driver, you know, pops out and opens up the door for those in the back seat, and out pops Jim Jackson. So Jim Jackson rolls out, you know, looking clean, just coming back from the game, you know, just getting done with the game and the broadcast. And Jim proceeds to cut everybody that's in the VIP line. And he gets to the door, and the guy, the bouncer's like, whoa, bro, you gotta go to the back of the line. And Alex and I, we're right there, so we see this. And we're like, oh, I wonder how this is gonna play out. That's Jim Jackson. And the bouncer's like, no, man, you gotta go to the end of the line, Jim. Like, what are you doing? Well, he didn't say Jim. He didn't know who he was.
Right.
People hate when celebrities pull the "Do you know
okay,
who I am?"
Okay, Jim Jackson is hardly a celebrity.
Jim Jackson, Jack, pulled the "Do you know who I am?" card. Jim, I never forget. Jim was like, "Yeah, man, I'm with Fox Sports. You know, I'm Jim Jackson. You know." Right?
Yeah, he keeps saying the name, and the bouncer still doesn't know who he is.
The bouncer's like, "I don't care who you are. You gotta go to the back of the line." Jim got ticked off. He motioned to somebody. This is what saved him. He saw somebody important that was near that door, and he's like, hey, bro, hey, help me out. And the guy's like, oh, yeah, come on in. And he got in that way. But it was so fun. I'm sitting there with Alex, like, come on, dude. I mean, Jim Jackson. But now, Jim's a good dude from what I see.
I'm sure he is,
but don't pull that card.
Well, I mean, how would you rate Jim Jackson's celebrity? I'd say he's probably a D-list celebrity.
Right, he's a D-list celebrity. He's not...
Like, celebrity's not even a word I would use barely, probably with Jim Jackson.
He's barely on D-list, man.
Right.
Like, I don't know, there's another category there? I don't know.
I mean, he's more famous than me. He's more famous than you.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, but
for
I mean...
Sure. Yeah, but, you know, just pulling that card, it's like, man, that's... You're rocking the boat a little. I mean, that's very risky if you're a D-list celebrity saying, do you know who I am? The chances are probably like 20% of the population knows who you are. So that was pretty funny. But, you know, on a much more serious note, Jim Jackson was a teammate of Kobe Bryant's. And, you know, I was talking with Connor yesterday. Connor Mathis engineered the show yesterday. And Connor said when he was watching the game that Jim Jackson, you know, news broke of Kobe Bryant's passing right before tip time of the game. And, you know, I saw the words, you know, that he said to the public, on camera, that went viral on Twitter, and he was very emotional, and he was barely talkative in the first half of that game. So, just how enormous this impact is, it's just, it really just blows your mind, and it does not feel real. So, and then we highlight the video of Cassius Winston getting the news from Tom Izzo, and Tom Izzo, who, you know, a lot of people were asking me, like, Al, why did Tom Izzo tell Cassius right there on camera? Well, because I believe Andy Cassius is about to interview Cassius, and Andy Cassius is probably going to bring it up, so he's trying to give Cassius a heads up, like, look, Kobe Bryant died, he may ask you about this, just letting you know. You know what I mean? I think that's what that was about.
Yeah, right? Absolutely, because I believe it was intentional from the basketball staff not to inform the players before the game. Probably the right move. Well, definitely the right move.
Because Tom Izzo said in his press conference that, you know, he told his team after, and they were all distraught.
Just, sure.
broken up.
Because, yeah, to your point, a guy like Cassius Winston, a guy like Rocket Watts, a guy like Xavier Tillman, anyone on that team, to a degree, growing up, they probably wanted to be like Kobe because, you know, unlike a guy who's like your age, someone my age, we didn't see Michael Jordan play.
Right.
You know, Kobe was the Michael Jordan to a lot of people, even though he wasn't Michael Jordan as a player, right? Yeah. But he was the Michael Jordan to a lot of player, and, you know, to people of my age demographic, that's basically the description he was. So he was, you know, maybe the most influential basketball player to, you know, most of the players in that locker room.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt. I'm 1990, so I was blessed to see a little bit of Mike during his final years with the Bulls. You know, 90, you know, I barely remember. I was 6 years old, you know, 96, you know. But 97, 98, 7 or 8 years old watching that, man. And then seeing, I mean, and Kobe was Jordan 2.0. You know, the way he played, the way he moved, the way he chewed his gum and he stuck his tongue out going to the rim and how he talked to the press. I mean, and then his game was so – there's a video out on social media right now that is a montage of Kobe and Jordan spliced together doing the exact same movements, shooting the exact same shots, giving the exact same mannerisms. It's crazy just how much Kobe patterned his game after MJ. So, yeah. And then real briefly, I'm just going to just touch on this. Not going to really dive into it, just touch on it, because we don't know a lot concerning this story. But the University of Michigan men's basketball team has suspended Xavier Simpson for a violation of team policies. Juwan Howard was very candid in addressing the suspension, not the specifics of what led to the suspension. Again, it's just being announced as a violation of team rules. But Juwan Howard saying, quote, "While we are disappointed with what has transpired with Xavier, we know there are always lessons to learn and grow from. We take these matters and consequences very seriously. Moving forward, we will continue to handle this matter appropriately within our program and basketball family." And Howard also, you know, went on to say that, look, you know, no one's above the team. No one is above the team. And, you know, we just don't know. We don't know what Xavier Simpson did. We don't know if it was a situation that, you know, in which we're talking about legalities here. We don't know if it's a situation where, you know, any type of violence was involved. We just don't know anything. We don't know anything. So I'm not going to speak on the specifics of this. All I can say is that this really hurts a very, very reeling Michigan men's basketball team, Jack. This squad is already on the bubble. You get Isaiah Livers back, then he goes in the game and re-aggravates the same groin injury. I mean, how crazy was that? I couldn't believe it. And he came down so awkward. I'm like, oh, my gosh, not again. And then you lose now, not just Isaiah Livers for another stint, but now you lose your starting point guard, who was also a co-captain. I got to give Juwan Howard a mulligan here, Jack. I mean, his first year, you're dealing with this as well. You don't have your recruits. I got to give the brother a mulligan. I mean, the expectations are you can't expect this team to go to the NCAA tourney, let alone make a deep run and compete for a Big Ten title. It did look promising at the very beginning of the season, but,
yeah,
man, I mean, come on now.
No, I mean, I think I somewhat agree with that. I guess let me ask you this. What would their record look like? I think they're 10-8 right now. What would their record look like if John Beilein were still the head coach?
I don't know. Yeah, that's a good
question. I think they're probably 3 games better, and I think they're definitely a tournament team. But that's not necessarily an indictment on Juwan Howard, because
it's two different styles.
Exactly.
As well, you know, Beilein was the system that Juwan Howard is running is totally different from John Beilein's system. That was a run and gun offense. You know, run out there, shoot threes, shoot a bunch of threes. They started to become a better defensive team as well. And especially, it's hard to measure the impact of a coaching change as well. You know what I mean? Like, Juwan Howard in his first year is coming in. A lot of those recruits were Beilein's guys.
Right.
What does that do mentally for a team? I don't know. I'm pretty sure there's some sports psychology involved in this as well. So there's a lot of different layers to this whole thing. But you know, to expect Juwan Howard to come in and pick right up where John Beilein left off is a bit unfair.
No, it's not fair because, to your point, they run two very different systems, and they recruit very different types of players. What we're seeing is that Juwan Howard, you know, the class he has coming in for next year, primarily you have some guys who look like they're going to be heading to the NBA in short order. So we'll see how he does with that type of player, with that type of team. You know, so this team really doesn't have a whole lot of NBA talent, if we're being honest. Like, David DeJulius down the line might be a player. Isaiah Livers might be a player. But, you know, nobody...
John Teske?
No. No, absolutely not.
Maybe
well,
like a poor man's bench player that you...
I mean, maybe
like
a little...
a really bad NBA team that you can bring off the bench and just come
But,
in.
I mean, he can't guard anyone in the post.
Right.
And he can't score in the post.
A lot of people say this. Can I debunk this? I'm going to have to just...
I'm not a John Teske fan, to be honest. I'm not a fan of his game, but go ahead.
A lot of people say you need to be able to guard if you're going to play in the NBA. Not really, Jack. Not really. The NBA I watch on a regular basis, on a regular Tuesday, Wednesday night, people don't play defense anymore in the NBA. Like, you could go... Have you seen the scores?
No, I agree. I understand.
It's just a really easy statement to make. Well, if you're going to go to the league, you got to be able to defend a little bit. No, you don't. You better be able to shoot.
All right, but he's not a great shooter. He's okay in the post.
He's getting better. I'm not saying John Teske is a lights out shooter. I'm just addressing overall what you need in the NBA at this point. You got to be able to shoot in today's league. I mean, just look at Bryn Forbes. And by the way, Bryn Forbes has become a really good defender.
Really good player.
Well. He all around both ends of the floor. It's pretty amazing. But I don't know. I think John Teske, I look at, you know, some of his performances this year and some of his post moves. I mean, he could come in and play for like, he could go in there for my Detroit Pistons and play forward coming off the bench.
Well, let me ask you,
do you
want to take minutes away from a guy like Christian Wood for John Teske?
No.
Exactly.
Not
so
at all. He's only getting in the game. Teske would only get in the game if Christian Wood needs a breather, a very
and like the water breather. Boy isn't available that day.
Exactly. So, but this tremendously impacts Juwan Howard and the Michigan Wolverines. Let's hit a brief break. We'll come back and put a bow in today's current sports. Some more tributes pouring in from the death of Kobe Bryant. We'll be right back. All right, folks, before we get you out of here, again, thank you so much for tuning in to the online and Facebook Live only edition of WKAR's Current Sports as we continue to provide coverage of the Senate impeachment hearings on 105.1 FM, AM 870. And again, we're starting the shows around 1:15 on Facebook Live and online as well because of course, I want you guys to tune in if you want it, to see what the rundown is going to be for the day when it comes to the impeachment hearings. And if you say, all right, I'm intrigued, continue to listen there. But if not, and you want to get away for a little bit, you know, you can tune in to WKAR's Current Sports Online. So that's why we've been starting around 1:15. You know, we've been talking a lot about, you know, the death of Kobe Bryant. I want to go to our Facebook page, actually, and read a few comments from you guys. Ben comments and says, you break the rules in fantasy basketball or in any other sport for that matter, then you deserve to be punished. And Xavier Simpson is suffering those consequences for his actions. What does that mean, Jack? Do we know?
I didn't hear the entire comment. I think
you break the rules in fantasy basketball or in any other sport for that matter. Oh, I just think he's okay. I'm guessing Ben is just talking about breaking rules.
I don't know where fantasy basketball plays in there, but yeah. I mean, no, that's
okay. If that's the point, when he said fantasy basketball, I'm like, hold on, was Xavier Simpson betting on fantasy basketball or something like that.
That'd be pretty funny. No, there. I mean, people can look up. Yeah, people can look up for himself. There are rumors out there what it is that Simpson did. Obviously, nothing concrete, so we won't talk about them on here.
Right.
But if you go on the Twitter spheres of the world, you can see what some people are saying he allegedly might have done.
Gotcha. Okay. And then Alex comments and says that, I don't think they should have canceled that game. I was looking forward to watching it. Reggie Miller was going to be on the call for that game. He's talking about the Clippers and Lakers. I hear you, Alex. The fan in you wants to see that game. But, you know, this is a story that brings about emotions that you it's hard to put in perspective. It really is. You know, hearts are heavy within the Lakers organization, and I think they want to do that game right. And there's some planning that has to go into effect there. I'm pretty sure that, you know, the Lakers organization have been in close contact with Vanessa Bryant and the family, and it's just too soon. Just too soon to play that game right now. I think we need a little breather. Right now, I want to see it too. I want to see it too, but we just need some time. You know, these players. It's amazing to me that they still play basketball on Sunday in the NBA. You know, hearts heavy everywhere. You know, Tyson Chandler in tears, and I'm looking at, you know, Trae Young. Just players everywhere in tears, highly emotional. Last night, did you see Larry Nance Jr. at the Pistons game? I mean, Larry Nance Jr. sitting there on the bench, and the camera pans to him, and he's just in tears. Breaking down so much so that Larry Nance Jr. had to jog to the locker room, compose himself, and then come back out, and he's crying again. I mean, you know, the NBA All-Star Weekend is going to be in Chicago, Valentine's Day weekend, and I also think President's Day is that Monday as well. That's going to be a three-day weekend, but hearts are going to be so heavy.
Wait, what's a three-day weekend? I'm sorry?
Valentine's Day weekend is a three-day weekend.
You know what I would love if they did? Was if they got rid of President's Day, and then they made the Monday after the Super Bowl a holiday instead.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Yeah, I mean, who needs President's Day, right?
And the Super Bowl, you know, this week is just a weird week, you know, with the death of Kobe Bryant, because the Super Bowl is on Sunday, and it just has a different tone. I saw players, the Super Bowl, was it Media Day yesterday, or it just opened up?
Yes, tomorrow was Super Bowl Media Day, correct.
Media Day was yesterday, and player after player after player is talking about the Mamba mentality and Kobe Bryant and what Kobe meant to him. They want to win for Kobe. I mean, it's really just a weird, weird week. Steven comments and says that he saw Imani Bates in person last night for that 42-point performance. Steven, you are a lucky man. I got word from Jack that we can have callers. Our system allows us to have callers, even though we're just online. So on tomorrow's Current Sports, Stephen, I would love for you to call in, man, and tell me what that was like. I haven't seen the young man in person. I'm really beating myself up that I didn't get a chance to check him out at the Breslin Center last year when it came to Lincoln High School's run in the state championship, beating your
they made the state championship last year, huh?
They did.
Oh, I wasn't aware.
Who's the school they beat?
I don't remember. I don't think that game happened, actually.
I'm sure you're putting that very far back in your mind. And then there's some other comments coming in. Rest in peace, Kobe. Alex has been binge-watching Kobe Bryant's detail, which I need to check out. And it's a good point that Alex makes. It's not for your average fan. It's for basketball junkies, because Kobe is breaking down. I would love to watch it. He's breaking down film, Jack, in which he's talking about different players' games. And, man, I wish they had something like that when I was in high school, because I was a film nut. I used to watch VHS tapes of Michael Jordan's Playground, Michael Jordan's Airtime, Michael Jordan's Come Fly With Me. I used to record the games. DVR didn't exist back then. When I was like 8 or 9, 10 years old, I used to record the games on VHS and watch them. I still got those. I actually was going through them a bit yesterday. And I still got all those VHS tapes of Michael Jordan. I got the Kobe Bryant versus Yao Ming game. the Houston Rockets versus the LA Lakers on TNT back in the day. I have all of those tapes sitting there, man. Just brings back a lot of nostalgia. But Kobe Bryant's detail, I wish they had that when I was growing up, because I would have been like a junkie watching that all the time. To dive into a basketball mind like Kobe Bryant as he breaks down the superstars of today and kind of goes through their games and what they do well, what they don't do well. Just amazing. But it's on ESPN Plus. That's why I haven't been able to see it. You got to have an account with ESPN.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. By the way, I actually did seem to remember who Amani Bates played in last year's state championship game. We had a caller on the air who just reminded me.
Cash Winston out of Detroit Jesuit High School. Meant for others.
Hold on. You're telling me that the great Gus Johnson called in just now and you didn't patch him through? Come on now, Jack. You got to patch him through, man.
All right, sorry. Next time.
Oh, he's calling back. He's calling back right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, probably.
Oh, man. So, just a lot of comments coming in. Alex also comments and says that Xavier Simpson will make the NBA. We'll debate that tomorrow, Alex. We'll debate that tomorrow. That's a good debate. That's a good debate. Because I can see where you're coming from, but I'm kind of on the fence with that. But all right, folks, that will conclude today's online edition of WKAR's Current Sports. We thank you all who are tuned in at Facebook Live at facebook.com/WKAR News. We'll be back at it same time, same place. Again, 1:15 p.m. Again, that gives you some time to check out what's happening as far as preview is concerned with the Senate impeachment hearings. And if you want to check out Current Sports for about 45 minutes, you can do so. All right. So until next time, as always, take care and be easy, people.